TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken record.
Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show.
This is podcast number 117, and I am Livia, your host. This week we have returning guests.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Tom from Glendale.
Allison from Tarzana.
And Ronnie from Las Vegas.
Woohoo! I always love it when you call in from Las Vegas. Feel like we feel very international. Well, not international. How about national then?
There you go.
All right, and this week in the news, the one piece of news I have is a piece of kind of bizarre, keep your mouth shut, but now my box sets are super valuable news, which is that HBO has had to put a halt on all DVDs of Game of Thrones Season 1 and issue an apology because on the scene in the last episode where they go look at the heads mounted on the walls, one of the heads is actually an imitation of Bush's head with a big scraggly wig on it, and most people didn't notice it.
And I didn't notice it.
I know. I've seen
I don't think anyone noticed it.
And then in the behind the scenes, they talked about it, and most people didn't listen to the behind the scenes or care. But then on Jon Stewart, they talked about it, and he made a big joke about it. So now it's national news, and now HBO has to apologize, and now your box sets that you got earlier are super valuable. Yay!
I'm really kicking myself that I didn't get it on DVD earlier, because now, you know,
well, you
I'm just
might be
get the compromised version.
Well, you might be able to go to the store and pick one up.
It might still be out there.
It might
yeah.
still be, because they
There's
just
no way
did...
they've reprinted them yet.
Grab yeah. one so. Now.
Yeah, grab one now, because that's going to be crazy valuable later.
Collector's
right.
item.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just saying, you have the only edition.
That's the original director's cut.
You had a piece of news, Tom?
Yeah, it's quasi-related to TV. Because Josh Dallas is starring as Prince Charming in Once Upon a Time, he cannot reprise his role as Fandral, one of the Warriors Three. He was the Robin Hood clone in Thor 2. So Zach Levi from Chuck has been recast in that role since they look so much alike. Not.
I was like, Zach Levi's like a foot taller than that guy. But, alright, I'll take Chuck. Whatever.
I think the character could only get more interesting. I mean, he was barely there.
That's true.
So
I barely even noticed. It wasn't until, like, I saw Thor the first time and I didn't notice the character. And then the second time I watched it, I'd already seen Once Upon a Time. I was like, oh, it's Prince Charming from Once Upon a Time. That's pretty much it. Alright, so we got a bunch of shows, so let's get down to the shows. First up, we're going to talk about the finale of Mad Men, meaning everybody but me.
Go forth. I didn't know Ronnie.
You're still behind.
Yeah, and Ronnie.
Oh, and Ronnie. So,
wait, Allison, if you're behind, did you watch it, though, or you didn't watch it?
I'm not behind. I've caught up. I did a marathon of Mad Men, saw it back to back from the beginning to the end
in
2 weeks.
Oh, wow. I thought you just said the word behind. That's
Netflix
why.
Is a wonderful thing. So I was thinking Livia was behind.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
She's way
No, Olivia never really... She just never gelled for her. She only watched...
Oh, really?
Did you watch
oh.
the first season?
Yeah, I watched first season and part of second season.
Yeah, so she never really... It just didn't work for her.
It pays off so wonderfully at the end of second, too.
But I hadn't seen the second... I had not seen the last... I watched the last two episodes back-to-back, and...
Which
you guys already talked about. So, I mean, like, obviously, killing off Jared Harris, who... also died on Fringe recently, so it's like just killing this guy off. Like, that was a really powerful episode, and I had heard from a friend of mine, she was like, oh, she's like, the finale of Mad Men, she's like, it doesn't really feel like much of a finale, and because she had said that, I went into it with a different expectation, probably. So when I watched it, I was kind of like, meh, I was like, okay, I'm like, I guess nothing super major happens, except for the end, which is hinting that perhaps Don, a woman walks up to Don at the bar, asks if he's... Is he single, or are you alone? And then he just gives his faith, which points to that Don's been trying to be the good husband the entire season.
Forget about it.
And now, perhaps he's going
to
go back.
Back to the old Don.
And I could see that. I was like, oh, that feels, you know. I mean, honestly, though, I have to say, Megan has been one of my favorite characters throughout, ever since she's been introduced. I really liked Megan. But I do have to admit that seeing her basically... Wait, did I get this wrong? Okay, so Megan's friend... is like, here's this job she that I heard about.
She totally right? stabbed her
she
friend
did.
In the back.
She did. She stabbed yes, her friend in the back.
Yes, she did.
Yes. And then so she tell her, oh, I'd be perfect for this. And I was like, I thought it was the friend that was perfect for
oh,
that.
Oh, no.
So
yes,
then,
well, welcome to the world of the acting
industry. Right? So then Don says.
Cutthroat.
Right. And Don says, well, you know, this isn't how you shouldn't get the job because your husband is, you know, working. You know, that's not how you should get the job.
You
want to
be someone's
that's not how
discovery.
You want to be someone's discovery. It's a great line. And then at the end, we see her in full makeup, getting ready to do it. And I'm like, oh, I was like, she just wants it. And I think for me, that's basically Don's way of for finally checking out the marriage.
But you know, so. when he looks at her reel, the camera loves her. I mean,
yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, she's
you
a pretty actor. Yeah, of
yeah.
course.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
But they definitely left the ending up for interpretation, and I'm sure they want us.
I don't know, man. He gives us.
He gives the
I
smirk.
Don't think it's. I'm pretty sure we're supposed to think he's going to be with that girl.
Because
it's Don Draper.
But I thought it was.
Yeah.
Pointing, well, I thought it was pointing at a question mark. Will he or won't he?
Oh, that's
and
true.
Knowing
yes.
Don by his past, I would say, oh yeah, of course, he will.
Well, yes. I'm just holding out hope because after four seasons of him being pretty reprehensible, they finally this season gave us somebody we could root for.
Yes.
And if they set him back to the old Don Draper. You know, he becomes an anti-hero instead of a hero again.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I would agree. I'm not quite sure how they would pull that off because
don't see that he's ever really changed that much. I mean, he's in the process of trying to modify his behavior, but at root, you know, he is what he is.
But
and
he's been introduced
to that from the very beginning.
But he's been striving to be a better human being, at least a faithful husband. And
yeah,
yes,
which I can appreciate. But you know, he's still. He's still done.
He's still done.
And also, I think this...
And he still goes back to who he is.
I think this season's also been really good at showing how he's recognizing how out of touch he is. Remember, he didn't even recognize the Beatles? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know what this
yes.
is. There's shit that, like, that's pretty nice that we're seeing that the main character... He's not as hip as the Chachi lookalike, the Scott Baio lookalike guy.
He's
you know?
Falling behind the times.
Yeah, but
yeah, exactly.
I like
think
that.
At the very beginning of the show, you know, he was cutting edge.
Yeah, he was
and now
cutting
we're seeing
edge.
Little
yeah.
by little by little, he's becoming part of the old guard and falling away.
And I think the contrast between this season has been a character study in contrast between Don and Roger, and then you have mm-hmm. Pete, mm-hmm. who's had this whole I mean, dude.
Oh
just
God,
not,
Pete. Jeez.
Yeah. Is that for the character or the actor? Or
that's little... it's definitely the actor's fantastic. The character is a weasel.
Oh, the character is
a
mess.
He's a wonderful weasel. I mean, he does it.
Yeah, he does
but
it
you,
so
but,
well.
But you've got to admit that scene with Alexis Bledel after she's had electroshock.
That was sad. I felt
it
bad.
Was, it was
wow.
sad.
Yeah, I felt bad.
So
well, see, they do that with Pete, though. They make you absolutely loathe him and show how despicable he can be, and then they turn around and they do something that makes you go, aww.
Yeah, that was a tough scene. I thought that was
They humanize him again.
Wrapping,
and that's beautiful balance.
Wrapping up, though, I would say I said this about Game of Thrones, and I would say this about Mad Men, which is that I like the episode. It's a good episode, but I do feel like. It seems weird, but it feels like TV's doing this thing where their penultimate episode is their big, powerful episode.
Is their climax.
And then your last episode is kind of like, that was good. I don't know why.
The penultimate is the climax.
But why are they doing that? Like,
I think because...
I don't know. I feel the same way, though, because, I mean, after the two Boffo episodes that led up to that,
yeah.
I really felt I was kind of let down by the Mad Men finale. It was like, well, let's... That would have been nice in the middle of the season,
right.
But it just don't feel like it was anything right now.
But dramatically speaking, I think we're seeing this pattern more and more, because if you're looking at a season as a novel, then you've got the climax, and then you're allowed to have falling action.
So you're right. Talking about the last 20 minutes of Return of the King is what these last episodes are. That's basically what you're saying. Is it,
that's an apt metaphor, and we need to move
All right, moving on. All right, next up, we want to talk about the second episode of Longmire. And Ronnie, you get to talk. Yay!
Another
Ronnie!
Yeah, thank you! Another great episode. I really enjoy Longmire more than I thought I would. And I love how, because this one was about the Mennonite kids. I was almost going to say Amish, but I guess...
Yes, that was incorrect.
And it was about the one of the Mennonite girls, because they were on, I forgot what it's called, like the Were they
Rosh Hashanah or something like that? Or no, that's
Rumspringa.
Rumspringa. I know. I was like, that's the wrong thing. Rumspringa. Sorry. I know. As soon as I said it, I knew it was wrong.
There's a Hasid community there too.
Yes, it's Rumspringa, which is the kids go off reservation basically, and they get to
experience, do whatever they want,
experience life as Western
for as
people.
Long as they want,
as the Yang.
Sometimes years or whatever.
And then when they come back, then they have to stay for good.
But what's interesting is that the percentage of ones that come back.
It's pretty
like 98%.
It's very high.
Because basically, if they don't come back, they can live their life, but you basically say goodbye to your family.
Yeah. Right.
And people can't usually do that.
Like, right.
So, but it's just so high.
Yeah.
Know, like, yeah.
Well, this one, this girl was pretty determined. She wasn't coming back. You find out she was a stripper and all this other stuff. And then the question is, who killed her? It's her super her father's crazy conservative.
Is Longmire, because I haven't seen it, is it a character's name?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was that or it was a town.
No, it's the main character's name is Longmire.
And it looks like it's a Western.
Well,
he's got the hats and the poster.
He's in the West, and he wears cowboy boots and cowboy hats.
Our period?
Yeah, but it's current.
Everybody's trying to rip off.
Yeah, no, it's current.
I was about to say, so it's justified.
Like, yeah, except that he's...
It's pretty much police procedural with cowboy hats.
That's what Justified is.
But except that I would say that Justified is in a... It's more modern. Like, it's in a marshal's office. Everybody's, like, and
do they have cell phones on?
Well, he never uses one. He never carries a cell phone.
They do have them, yes.
They exist. He just doesn't use them.
And this is the one with Katie Sackhoff.
Katie Sackhoff, right.
And she said she's basically playing Starbucks.
She's basically
Starbucks. But that's what she does well, so
exactly.
That's fine.
Exactly. So, yeah. And only thing, and the big mystery about what happened to him, about what happened to his wife, we're slowly getting pieces of that. And that's part of the story that I really like, because that's the ongoing, like, storyline.
Right.
The only thing that I say that I was disappointed in was his daughter. They make a big deal about who the heck is she dating? Who is she dating? And I was like, well, at first I thought it was maybe Longmire's best friend, but then I was like, that would be weird.
Right.
But then you find very quickly that's not it. And then I was like, okay, who could be the worst person ever for her to date? And that's exactly who she's dating, which is the guy that her father hates.
Right, the deputy who's going to run against him for sheriff.
Right, the guy who basically betrayed him, stabbed him in the back. But he's gorgeous, so I kind of get why the girl is dating him.
Who made the show? Is it a big show? I mean, is it somebody?
I don't remember.
Because usually it's like, oh, it's the guy who did blankety blank or whatever.
I don't know, but it's. Right. I think it's a really good show.
So you like it?
Yeah, I really
Ronnie,
like it.
Ronnie, you like it too?
I do like it. You know, I mean, it's quiet, you know, and what I like about it is this, you know, sort of getting to know him better.
Right.
And like sort of this whole, like you said, backstory revealing itself, because there were like these flashbacks to him being sewn up. And I still don't understand what that is.
Right. Because I thought it happened at the same time his wife died, but apparently it didn't.
Right.
But we don't know what it's just. He's got these crazy. It's these really long, jagged scars on his back and his back is just torn up. And you're just like, what the heck happened to him? And it is a really quiet kind of show in that you spend a lot of time with him just kind of being. And him just kind of, his day is really kind of a slow sort of day. And they have to have some crime to propel the story. But you see how his day begins, you see what he goes through, and you see this like his... Like, it's not like a regular procedure. It's not all fast, action-paced, like, oh, cool view of inside the body. They don't do anything like that.
No.
And so I like the pace of the show. And
that's
I like him.
He's got... It's funny, this week, Katie on the pole to get information was...
That's right. That's great. Because Katie Sackhoff, basically, her character, they're in this bar and they're trying to get information. And nobody will talk to them. And she's like, I bet you $20 that I get somebody to talk. She gets on the stripper pole and starts stripping off her uniform. And of course she gets somebody to talk. And then she goes back up to her other sheriff or the other deputy. And she's like, pay up. And he goes, I always pay my strippers or whatever. He puts the $20 in her belt. And I was like, yeah, you deserve that one. You had that one coming. And
right. And
what was great is Longmire, they were about to go on another part of the case or whatever. Longmire's like, yeah, you should stay here. I think the town has seen enough of you today. It was just like... So it's got a little humor to it, and I think
I like it because it's more of a character study. You know,
right.
I don't really see it as a police procedural. Of course, they have to have the case to, you know, hold the different things together. But to me, the case was the least interesting part of the episode.
Yeah, it's about learning about him. The fact that he even knows about Rumspringa, the fact that he knows about the Mennonites. Most people don't know about them. And
he can speak German?
Yeah, it's like little pieces of information. You're like, who is this guy? You know, so it's kind of interesting. So, okay, thumbs up for this week's episode of Longmire, I think. And is that's all I got to say about it. You got anything else, Ronnie? Wrapping up?
Nope. That's good.
All right. So next up, we're going to talk about the season premiere of True Blood.
Ugh.
And I follow your ugh with a ugh.
Okay, is it just... I guess it's not just me. I did not enjoy this episode at all.
I liked Pam.
I will. Oh, I'm
Pam,
going
Pam was funny. Wonderful.
Yeah, Pam's
Pam
funny.
Was fantastic.
She was. Yeah. I will be specific.
I'm in a Walmart sweatshirt.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah,
not like a team player. Yeah,
I will be specific good. In my criticism, which is, I think part of the reason why this didn't work for me is that they tried to cover way too many storylines.
Seriously.
I think there was like 5 storylines.
Oh, there's got to be more.
And then, oh, you're right, there probably was more. 2 of them were about these human characters that we don't really know that well or don't necessarily care about. And I give them credit for trying to make that a little more interesting, but it feels like they're not trying that hard. So we
Which
get
one, the thing with Hoyt and his war buddy?
Yeah, Hoyt. I don't think that's Hoyt.
Not Hoyt. Terry.
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 Yeah.
Thank you.
Terry and his war.
I thought they could have dropped that. I thought this. I guess I liked the episode better than you did, but that really kind of slowed things down, and I ended up saying, why am I watching this?
Right, and then the story with the sheriff and his girl. Oh, he was sleeping with, and then the sons walk in.
Oh yeah.
What? Yeah. Why?
Can we pay the money not to ever show?
I will say that I noticed that since he's realized they keep showing him naked, he's actually lost about 20 or 30 pounds.
Yes, he has.
So I will give him
more
that.
Buff than he's been in the past.
I will give him that. I have noticed that you have lost weight, which means I've seen you naked too many times.
Was he ever naked on The Wire?
He's not. Who's not the guy from The Wire? Wait, oh, no, yes, he was. He was from The Wire.
The second
no, he was not a naked on The Wire.
Well, I was just saying.
But then, so those 2 storylines were snooze fest.
Oh, my gosh.
And the only storyline I was kind of interested in is with Bill and Eric, and they're on the run from the authority, and then
Eric's
sister.
Here's my problem with that. That was
Eric's
so
sister, yes.
Utterly, they're on the run from the authority. Oh, they're going to escape. Oh, but she's on their side. Oh, they're going to get caught. Oh, come on. Seriously?
Well, it was pretty silly.
We knew they weren't really going to be on the run and have... But I have to give the names...
Oh, no,
like,
actually, I didn't know that.
Ike Applebaum? Like, really? Eric's new name was going to be Ike
Applebaum?
No, that's
what... Actually, I thought they were going to be on the run. Why wouldn't I think that?
Because the whole season's about the authority.
How would I know?
Because they've shown trailers and the posters are all about...
I've seen any of them.
Yes.
The poster I've seen is just a face just saying... The stakes are high. Yeah, the stakes are high or some silly thing.
Just thought this was the kind of episode that has me seriously considering if I continue with this series.
Well, I had already decided I was going to stop until they hired Chris Maloney, and then I was like, all right, fine, I'll watch his episodes. And then
hire Chris Maloney and don't show him in the first episode.
Oh, my goodness.
I assume they're building up to introduce him properly.
Well,
so
he's going
to
be
just
in...
walk on the screen like he's there.
He's going
to
be in...
up to his entrance.
He's going to be in this episode.
How old is he? Is he the oldest?
Well, I was disappointed. I thought he was going to be like 5,000, and they said he's only 500. I was like, Eric's older than him.
So then why is he so powerful?
Well, that's about politics.
And just out of curiosity, what is it with incest on premium cable?
But that's not really. Yeah. But it's not really. That's not really.
It's
his
true because then he says
it's,
that it was.
It's not
yeah,
real
they're
incest.
Not really.
They were just made
but
by
they
the
do.
Same vampire.
But the writers know by saying this is my sister. They know they're playing with that incest.
Yeah, but we are.
No,
first of all,
no.
They don't look alike.
They don't look alike. It's
second
true,
of
but.
All, they both basically were made by the same maker. That's right. Why they're talking about. They're not.
I know,
but they're still
I know
playing
that,
with the.
But
they're
why,
playing
why
with the
use
incest
the term
as a
saying it's my sister?
Right, and it's true, and he's right. A lot of shows, Game of Thrones, a lot of shows recently
it's like,
have
seriously?
Really been into the incest.
It's like,
thing,
let's
you know?
Take down
like,
taboos one by one. Next season is
They'd
best
be late
reality.
To the party on that particular taboo.
I love my dog. Woo!
Yeah, I'm like, let's not take down that taboo, please. But
I was bored with
And I was not happy that Tara actually got turned into a vampire. I was like, can we just let her rest in peace, please?
Oh, just...
Is she going to be like
as
a crazy
As soon as I saw her name was still in the credits, I just realized that my hopes that she was gone forever were completely
what's
dead
her,
and buried.
What's the actress's name?
Rutina Wesley.
I thought she would come back sporadically as a ghost that only Lafayette could see. That's what I thought. And I was like, that's fine.
That would have
like,
been better.
But this, I was like, oh, come on.
We've already done this thing with Jessica. Speaking of which, I wasn't digging the Jessica.
Which
Jason
is weird
because
I usually like Jessica. But
yeah,
I liked
I
when
too.
She saved...
No, it wasn't.
Hoyt's the brother.
Jason.
I like what she said,
Reverend
Jason.
Newland.
But then when she's got the party, I was like, I was just kind of a jerk. Like,
if you start counting all the different subplots, more of them are in the hate this category than in the love this category.
Agree. Right, and then what's up with the Reverend, like, trying to molest Jason?
I don't know what's going on with that either.
That was just...
Well, that didn't come out of nowhere for me, because he was giving out a gay vibe since they first introduced his character.
Well, that's true. Well, I'm not going to say I was surprised.
The fact that he suddenly just comes out and says, you know, I'm a gay vampire American.
That was actually funny. But...
Did he say that?
That was kind of typical.
You might have fallen asleep.
Yeah, that was... It was... I'm hoping
and the stuff with the werewolves got tedious.
Yeah.
Them eating her son. Yeah, whatever. I didn't care about that other than the torture of Sam. I was like,
here's
is he gonna break?
When a show takes the characters you like and puts them in plot lines you don't like, that's a sign it's time to bail.
The only thing is, like I said, I was ready to bail after last season, but I tuned in for Chris Maloney, so I will be staying for Chris Maloney.
I will stay at least for the first episode that actually has him in it. But
yeah, so I saw he had an interview about it. I read his interview. And he said he enjoyed the role, but I mean, he gets to be a ham, so of course he's going to enjoy that.
Something I could stick my teeth into.
No, he didn't say that. All right, so wrapping up, we are done beating the crap out of True Blood. So let's move on to Girls.
So one episode left, right?
Yeah, tonight's the finale.
I gotta say, I think the first five episodes of Girls they're all fantastic. I would say the latter half, while still very good, I don't think they're as strong, and I think it's because she isn't doing everything.
Co-written by other people, so
and they're not terrible. It's not like they suck or anything, but like I'm just like, they're not quite as good as the first half.
But
like
one of the things I liked about this episode is it crystallizes that you basically had this lead character who is inherently selfish and unsympathetic.
Yes, absolutely.
And she gets called out by
her best friend.
Her somewhat more sympathetic but still selfish best friend.
Yes.
But it was just, it was kind of interesting. I don't know if she'll give her character the luxury of being able to learn and grow from her mistakes, or if she'll still stay in this rut.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm a big champion of this show, but I have to say that I don't know, because I think you have to do what you're saying. A part of me, because it got renewed, right?
Oh, yeah.
See, there's a part of me that almost feels like this might actually be good as just a one-season show, because I don't know if I need to see her characters go through the growth and the now I'm a better person and stuff. Because it feels very artificial. And I feel like if you have to move in that direction...
Well, you can...
I mean, the joy of the show is that they really do seem like self-absorbed 20-something girl. Like, they really...
Well,
that's really what they seem like.
It's the bourgeois version of Sex and the City.
Right.
If you
start making them go through character arcs and changes... Now it reminds me of how artificial. It's like, oh well, it is just a fictional like show. So I don't know if I want that.
But one
for
of
second
the,
season.
One of the
so,
things I was aware of when I was, as I've been watching this show, is if these were males, would we still be having this conversation? Because in a lot of these movies and male-oriented shows, they're allowed to be stupid idiots and not have to change.
I mean, it's more cartoony, but Entourage was successful for 7 seasons, and they're pretty self-absorbed. Dudes and stuff.
And
that's pretty successful. So, I mean...
Yeah, but...
And again, totally more cartoony than Girls.
Yeah.
But those are pretty,
I just wonder if we expect women to be more enlightened than men, which is one of the reasons this show has been...
That's like one of the reasons I like the show. They show that they're not necessarily more. Right.
But the critical... I mean, there are a lot of people who do not like this show.
No, there are. There definitely are.
But I dig Zosia Mamet's character.
Oh, she's great. I like all the characters. I like the guys. I like the setting.
And the conversation with the British au pair and her former employer.
That was good.
I thought that was great.
Was it Anna Gasteyer?
No. She was on...
she's from something.
She was in that awful show with Hank Azaria.
Yes.
2 seconds.
I don't know what her name is.
Free Agents.
That was a really good scene. Because it wasn't going in the direction I thought it was going to go. And I was like, this is kind of interesting. But I would say this episode, and I still liked it. I thought this was the most, it's not that they don't have drama in the other episodes, but especially the way it ends, which is basically the two roommates being like, we can't live with each other anymore.
Face off.
And I'm like, it felt very much more of like a drama. Like I was watching a drama more than a drama with comedy. Like I really wasn't laughing. I was like,
I didn't mind. I mean, you can do that, you know. A couple
of
times.
Was last week the rave party?
Yes.
See, I thought that was a much stronger That was awesome. That episode was fantastic. But
I'll be interested to see what they do for the finale.
I'm curious to see what the finale is.
I'm over the boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that. But yeah. So thumbs up. I mean, but I'm curious to see how they're going to end it.
Yep.
So
agree.
Yep.
Okay. So next up, let's talk about Eureka. And this
underwater episode.
Yes. This was their episode where you basically. I was actually scared. I didn't watch the episode immediately because I saw the trailers and I was like, oh my God, they're going to break up Allison and Jack. And I was...
Boy, were you wrong.
I know, but I was really upset, nervous about it. I was like, oh, this is going to suck. And so I literally did not watch the episode until yesterday because I was...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't want them to break them up. And I was like, I don't want to watch this one, but
well,
I got to watch it.
Well, that didn't happen.
I know. It actually was the inverse and opposite of what I thought was going to happen.
Yes, it did.
They actually talked out some of their issues underwater, literally in a, like a, not a vacuum, but like being vacuumed.
Like a mini sub.
In a sub where they had nowhere to go but to talk to each other. And they actually, they worked out their issues as it was filling with water. So
yes.
That was interesting.
Nothing makes saying I love you more important when you think you're going to die.
Yeah. And then I like the fact that he was like, are we doing this because we think we're going to die?
Well, yes, actually.
Yeah.
They kind of were.
But it clarifies stuff for you really quickly, I guess. It's like,
I mean, I think the real shame of this season of Eureka is the show is working on all cylinders and then the series comes to an abrupt end.
Right.
Yes. Yes,
yeah,
that's frustrating.
They didn't get a chance to really wrap everything up. Yeah, but
as much as they're trying, they are putting the effort into it.
Well, the thing is, they didn't know.
They didn't know.
Allison.
Even right
I
now,
I thought that they had warnings. Kind of.
No,
they knew
no.
that something was possibly going to happen. Because it sure is playing like they're trying to wrap threads up.
No, they had been.
Right, but they are going to get an extra episode at the end.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had initially been promised a 6-episode season 6. And then that became one episode,
right?
To wrap up everything.
So,
okay.
Yeah. But they are. I mean, they finally got Carter and Allison together, which we've been waiting forever
Yay.
For that to happen. And they have way too many people living in their house. I agree. With that. I was like, everyone is in love with
some
their house.
Real, some virtual.
Actually, all virtual. Like, well, I mean, all virtually at least in love with the virtual people. So there's two virtual people in the house. And you got the two guys that are in love with them. All of them are staying
well,
in like the
one
closet.
Of the guy, one of the guys is a robot.
Yes.
Well, that's true,
yes.
But still, there's still too many people in that house. And I was like, I don't understand why. You know what they should do is they should move to Allison's house and then let the people,
let everybody else,
all the virtual people, yeah,
and
leave
Fargo
there.
Stay there.
Yeah, I don't understand why they didn't do that. She has a nice big house.
I missed more of Henry in this episode.
That's true.
I want to find out what's going
why
on.
Why did
him.
His girlfriend
yeah.
leave?
Oh, they had that big fight.
I know, but why? I mean,
yeah,
like,
but they supposedly made up, so I don't know. Maybe the actress was busy.
That's what I was like, what the heck?
Oh, behind the scenes, I have no idea.
Oh, because because
she does seem really strange by her absence.
Yeah, because I love them as a couple.
Mm-hmm. No, I do too.
They work really well.
Yeah, and so her being gone really just it breaks Henry's heart. It breaks my heart because I'm like, hurry up, come back. I want her to
come back.
Come back,
Grace.
No.
It's time.
All
yes.
is forgiven.
And I like how they got around the whole Holly being dead, because I thought that was the end of
Felicia
Day.
Felicia Day.
I was surprised they killed her. I was like, holy crap.
I was mad that they killed
How'd
her.
How'd they kill her?
Yeah.
Snapped her neck, man. It was just like, whoa.
They kill people on Eureka?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Eureka's like a fun light show.
It's
normally.
Sometimes. But then they have, like, when that dude got disintegrated, like,
oh,
my
God.
The obnoxious scientist guy.
Yeah, one of the main characters gets killed, and I'm not going to tell you which because you haven't seen it. But when that happens, I went, holy crap. Like, he gets, like, he just, like, gets disintegrated. Like, he's standing there, and you realize he's dead, and his whole face just, he actually turns into dust and just disintegrates. And you're just like.
Well, like Jared Harris in Fringe.
Yes.
He kind of.
Yeah, like, but he's got
yeah.
the. Like, he's in the literally in the middle of
talking.
Yeah,
but he's talking. A character you don't necessarily want to disintegrate.
Yeah, you don't want
so
him dead. So he's, like, in the middle of talking, and then he freezes. And you're like, what? What were you going to say? And then he just. And you're just like, holy crap. Like, that
so did
was,
someone shoot him with something? How did they.
Well,
do?
No, I'm not going to tell you. You're watching right. the show. Come on.
Well, now I know Felicia Day dies, apparently.
Right.
Like,
well,
I mean,
what they've
but
done.
She's not gone. She's dead, but not gone.
Yeah, they're doing.
She's
little,
still what? In danger, though. Hopefully,
yeah,
they're going to fix
like
that
on
in the next episode or two.
Yeah.
Do they do ghosts?
No, not really.
No.
No. It's all technological
right.
stuff.
They do flashbacks.
Yeah.
They have to come up with some ersatz scientific explanation for everything.
But I think this episode, this week, it was all about, it was a prank day. It was scientist Feynman. April Fool's Day.
Feynman Day.
Yeah, so they were all playing pranks on each other. And I do like Joe and...
Zane,
thank you. Joe and Zane's relationship, I like that a lot. And I'm so glad we're done with the whole Joe and Jack thing. Oh my god,
that was so old.
How long has this show been on the air now?
This is season five.
But this is the end.
Yeah,
they've done a couple of years where they've split the season in half.
And how long is Psych?
Oh, this is like 6 or 7 coming.
Oh, Psych's older.
Oh yeah.
Psych's been on for longer. But anyway, thumbs up for Eureka.
Yes.
It was a really good episode. I can't wait for next week. And my lesson here is this is the second episode where I've held off watching because I was afraid they were going to do something that they ended up not doing, and they actually made it really good. So I should trust in my Eureka writers is the lesson.
It's safe to watch the episode.
Yes. All right. Next up, let's talk about Lost Girls.
Yes, a Lost Girl. There are more than one.
You're right. It's called Lost Girl. I got mixed with the whole girls thing.
Wait, so it is just
it's just one girl, and this episode.
Go ahead.
I was like, this episode basically tells you that Bo is like crazy powerful. Like that was the entire point of the episode. There's like all these animated doll like people or whatever, and these dead people get reanimated so this guy can live off of them and make himself younger. Blah 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 blah. And he thinks that he's going to feed off of Bo because she's got all this energy. And Bo's like, you know what? Nah. And she basically gets taken over or possessed by like a darker portion of herself or something like that, right? Is that how you read it?
I wouldn't say darker, but just more powerful. Because, you know, how like when she like sort of embodies this, you know, she says there will be no light or dark phase. So I don't think it's just the darker
side. She's basically saying that she's going to take over everything. She will rule them all. And she basically sucked the life out of the entire room, which we have never seen her do. We've never even had a clue that she could do something like that. Like, normally, she has to touch you and be all up in your face, and then she could take all your energy and basically kill you. Or not. Or give the energy back and maybe save you. But this is the first time we've ever seen her from far away up on a stage. She basically sucked the life out of everybody in the room. And I was like, whoa.
Right, and it was amazing because she deals with the chi in these different people. Cause and the main her main adversary was actually a lich, is what they call it. It's interesting, like learning all these different kind of fae, and so he can reanimate everybody. So everybody's chi was like in the wrong place anyway. So she was able to draw out all of their chi at once, which was just an amazing scene.
Yeah, that was. She basically was like, you do not know who you're messing with, because he thought he was going to turn her into his prisoner and he was going to turn her into one of his dolls or whatever. And she's like, you are playing in the wrong ballpark. I am way more powerful than you. But that was just wild. Like, that lets you know, I guess, where the series is going. Like,
yes.
Now all I'm doing is I'm waiting for her to become that again, you know, to see her wield that much power.
Right, and to be able to control it, you know.
Right, because that was kind of unconscious. That was more like she was about to die, her adrenaline was going, and it just kind of took over. But yeah, right. I want to be able to see her just be able to do that, like in a battle situation, because, you don't know that. Never mind. I'm episodes ahead of you. I'm like, never mind.
Don't get ahead of yourself now.
Sorry.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. But I'm just saying that kind of power will be useful later is all I'm saying.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait, you know. And then also, there's also a cute second story, like in the episode, because it dealt with Kinsey, and Kinsey's always so much fun to, you know, to be around. And so there was one, I forgot what the woman was, but the daughter of some like high functionary or something needed to be babysat, basically, and so it was able to do that. And so, you know, so you have this teenager, and her mother wouldn't let her do anything at all. You can't, you know, sort of, you can't drink, you know, there's like this whole list of things that she can't do. And then Kinsey finds out, and she's like, no, this is a teenager, she's got to party, we got to have fun. You know?
And then she found out the dangers of allowing her to do any of that stuff.
Right, because this isn't like an ordinary teenager, she's fae, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then she drinks, and then, like, I love the scene where she throws up all over hell. And then, Kinsey's taking off his shirt.
Oh, like, wow. He should be shirtless all the time. How did we not know that he had that underneath his shirt? Like, really? Like, he's the one character that is never naked. Like, everybody else on that show is almost always naked. This is like the Canadian version of True Blood, in that everybody's naked having sex all the time on that show. And how is it that this is the one character? We're in the middle of season two. He has never taken his shirt off, and he's got abs of steel. Like, what the heck? Anyway,
definitely.
Yes, he should be shirtless all the time. Continue.
Such objectification of men.
I'm just saying, that's part of what this show is about, because she's a succubus. It's about her she gets her power from sex. So there's a lot of sex on the show. And I can't believe he's one of the main characters and he's never had a sex scene. I was like, how is that possible? And the only time
we see sort of him and Kinsey's relationship, or what happens with it.
She when she has sex with other, at the beginning, whenever she had sex with people, she did kill them. As the show has gone on, she's learned to control her power, so she can have sex with them, steal most of their power without killing them. So she's figured out how to not kill them.
Does the guy who you like know this, though?
Oh, yeah.
So then there's no way he's going to sleep with her. I mean,
no, but he's a fae. He's fae, so she can't kill him.
Oh.
But a regular human, she was killing...
Does it still affect a fae?
Yes. It drained, like, they're like down to zero on power, but he sleeps it off and he's fine. So it's not like it's not anything detrimental. Only the problem was the guy she was feeding off of all of season one. He's one of the main guys. He's like a wolf kind of guy.
Right.
When she was feeding off of him all the time, like every day, he started not being able to like get up to go to work. Like it was really hard for him to function because she was feeding off him all the time. So that's kind of a problem. But as long as she feeds off of you every once in a while, it's fine. As long as she can control it. The problem is, everything has been about her learning to control her powers. The more she learns to control her powers, the more powerful she is, actually. So that's
right.
A pretty cool thing. Anyway.
And the last thing just to say, too, also they had a little bit in about with Lauren, the doctor, and what's really going on with her girlfriend, who's not in a coma, but is under a curse.
Right. And that's what that nail is about.
Yes.
So that's getting closer. Let me know when that actually happens, because I don't remember which episode that is.
Okay. So
give me a heads up. It's like, oh, this is the episode where they deal with the nail. I'm like, okay. But yeah, thumbs up. I love this show. And I've looked ahead. Season 3 in Canada premieres in September, and it'll probably premiere on Sci-Fi Channel in January. Like, after it airs in Canada, it'll air here, so...
Okay.
We got a while, because we got spoiled. They played season one and season two back to back, so you got like
Ooh.
You got like 26 episodes. You got uninterrupted Lost Girl for so long,
right?
Hasn't even ended yet on Sci-Fi. Like, it's probably got a couple more episodes on Sci-Fi Channel. So it'll
actually more than that, because we're only at like about halfway through. Because the second season was actually longer, so the second season itself was 23.
Oh, it was.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that will mean by the time second season ends, third season will have started in Canada. So that'll work.
Yes.
For all those who can get your friends in Canada to send you the episodes. All right. Let's move on. Next thing.
Good episode.
Yes,
though.
Thumbs up. I love this show. Next up is Bunheads, which is, I have to say, I saw the poster for it and I was like, what the heck? Like, I thought it looked stupid just from the poster. And then Peter was like, no, you gotta watch it. I was like, fine. So I did watch it. And Peter, you talk first.
Was it Amy Sherman-Palladino? Is that her
yes.
name?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Gilmore Girls creator. And I like Gilmore Girls in general. And so when I saw the poster, at least the one I saw, it was a woman on the cover who's a Lorelei-esque looking girl. And in the background, you can see all these... obviously young girls in ballerina tutus, and I was like she's a teacher or something. I mean it's got the mom who the actress who played Lorelai's mom is again kind of the mother character
Kelly
of the show. And the guy who played Cameron on Ferris Bueller plays this guy,
the son of her
Alan
who
Rock.
Basically goes to Vegas and he has this crush on this woman who's a Lorelai type character.
We need to know her name instead of calling her Lorelai.
What is her name?
I don't know.
And she basically convinces her. He's basically convinced like that. You know, he can take care of her. So she does this.
Well, you're skipping. Her job's not going well. Well, what you're skipping the fact is, the thing I liked about him and her was the fact that he was persistent. They said every month for the last year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a little stalkery.
It is. Yeah. But it's the weird line between stalkery and charming. Yep. Like, I wasn't quite sure where he fell on that. But, I mean, I think that he was relative. Like, whenever she was like, I need distance, he was like, okay.
So he eventually wins her over. She
don't sum it up. Just tell me what you think.
Well, because it's a new show. So
I know, you don't need to sum up the whole thing.
I liked it. I thought the dialogue was very much the way Palladino's things was. I like the interaction with the young girls. It's very much like their little Rorys and everything. I know I keep comparing it to Gilmore Girls. Also, it's very much specifically a specific town, the way Gilmore Girls
is. It does feel a little Gilmore Girls.
I mean, it seems like, well, this is what she did. Because she had another, she tried to do a sitcom.
And it didn't work.
So right. I'm like, at least she's going back to her wheelhouse. I'm like, oh, okay, this is what works and everything. But the only thing that got me, though, was that we're watching the episode, and I'm like, all right, this will be interesting. And then at the end of the episode, she's getting along with the mom, she's at a bar, she's having a good time, and then this woman comes in who was with the, who had a crush on the husband, and it looks like he's died now.
Yeah. Well,
they say it, but it looks like he's dead, you know?
And
like,
my problem is, half of what I liked about the show was their weird romance, in that she marries him, and she obviously doesn't love him, but he loves her. And he's very much like, I will earn your love. And I was like, oh, that's kind of, I thought it was kind of sweet. And I really wanted to see that happen. And then he's dead? Really?
Well, it makes sense, though, again, with Gilmore Girls. I mean, yes, we meet Luke. But in general, Gilmore Girls is very much about women with other women. That's the show. The show is not really about, like, so it makes sense that this show is, again, about that. The man is absent from the story.
Except
much,
that
you know?
Don't, like, Gilmore Girls, he's not really, because you do have Luke.
But the romance... That takes a long time.
It does. But that's kind of... I thought we were going to slowly see
that's
that.
That's true. That's
and
true.
And so by killing him off, I was like,
I had mixed feelings about killing him off, too, if that's what they did.
I think they did.
But still, I definitely would watch the next episode. I like the character.
The lead is played by Sutton Foster, who's a very Tony Award-winning Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Ronnie, what did you think?
And actually, I enjoyed it because the funny thing is I first saw a preview of it, like, on first look at the movie theater. It's like, what is this? You know, and I wasn't sure if I was going to watch it. You know, I wasn't sure, like, how silly it was going to be. But I thought that they did really good. I was really surprised at the end that they did, you know, I think he is dead, which I thought, that's such a weird twist. You know, what that is going to do to the story. Because I was looking forward to the relationship and to see how she's, you know, slowly builds the love. So I was like, holy crap, what's going to happen? But I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
I did too. I mean, I thought it was good, but like I said, half of what I really liked about it, they killed. So yes. So I'm going to watch the next episode to see if they can make me still interested.
And look, this is ABC Family. This has more potential than the 9 Lives of Chloe King. last summer.
Oh, snap.
So there's
wow.
that.
Wow, yes, that's true. I mean, it got better actors. The problem with the 9 Lives is nobody on that show could act.
Right.
So at least...
But they were cute.
But that's the...
But I will watch next week's Bunheads.
Bunheads, thumbs up. All right. Next up, we're going to talk about... Finally, somebody else watched Rizzoli and Isles with me.
Yes.
Do you like
Angie Harmon?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
She's really good on Rizzoli and Isles, man.
No, I've only seen her on Law and Order.
Really good.
Who is the other woman? Is she an act? I mean,
she's from NCIS.
NCIS one.
But
Sasha Alexander.
Thank you.
Wait, so the show NCIS, like, they don't have their original cast anymore?
Well,
oh, God, though.
No. The show's been on for what? Well, actually, they have almost everybody. She's the
is
only
the
one who's left.
Is the goth girl still there?
Yeah. They've
had issues with the woman character.
Sasha Alexander is literally the only one who's left the show.
No,
so she
Lauren
is the
Holly
blonde girl on Rizzoli and
she
Isles.
Didn't leave the show.
So she's either Rizzoli or Isles.
She got blown up.
That's true.
Which one is she? Who is Angie Harmon Rizzoli?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Italian. And then Isles is the blonde girl.
Right.
And they're cops? So it's basically...
Well, no, they're not cops. She's a Angie Harmon's a cop. The other woman's a
medical
examiner.
Oh, see, I thought it was like a Cagney and Lacey.
It is, sort of.
Well, because no, those are two women cops.
Without the lesbian
right.
subtext.
Right.
Well, no, it's full of the lesbian. It's absolute. I was like, it's totally full of the lesbian
cops. The one
cop
episode
subject.
I saw didn't seem to have much. But.
Dude, every time some guy tries to date one of them, people always ask if the two of them are together, like, and then they're always like laying in bed together talking. Like,
wait, what?
Like, yeah, it's pretty full of the lesbian subtext.
Are they naked?
Now Peter's
like,
interested.
If they are, I'll watch.
Now Peter's interested.
What network is this?
TNT. We know drama.
Yeah.
So it's a summer show. What is it? Come right before the closer, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So right. I think it's really well done. But I want to know what you think. This is your first episode you saw. What did you think, Ronnie?
You know, I enjoyed it. It's actually lighter than I thought it was going to be. Because, well, in this episode, we get a lot of Rizzoli's family. So, you know, I got a chance to sort of see her dad, who's marrying somebody, like, the same age or younger, and her mom. And so it was just interesting to me, like, sort of the way it played out. And also, you know, because I had known just from listening to the podcast, you know, that Rizzoli actually shot...
Isles' father.
Father. And so you see that they're still sort of not talking. And so it's interesting how everybody else is kind of walking around them not talking. And so actually I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was a weird thing about it, because the thing is, they're so close and they're such good friends. This last couple episodes where they're not speaking to each other, it's been weird. But they did kind of bring everything kind of back together, and they played the whole thing like a breakup. Like that, you're talking about lesbian subtext. Like, they were literally like returning their CDs to each other, and they were like, this is my stuff, this is your stuff, you can no longer talk to my mom anymore. Like, I was like, who breaks up with their friends like that? Like, it was really like a real breakup. And they do get jealous when the other one's dating somebody else. Like, it's pretty subtext. It's text. So,
and you see finally where actually Rizzoli has, you know, had to come to the rescue, because with the plot on this one, they had to end up going out to this ranch that,
right. 'Cause everybody conspired to make them spend time together. Right. And then they almost got killed together, which actually bonded them back. Yay.
Nothing like being close to death. See, like in Eureka as well. It's like being close to death really brings it out,
Everything becomes much clearer. It's like, why are we having this stupid fight? You know, so that was all really good. I like the brother that's the cop. I like Rizzoli's brother that's the cop. I don't like the other loser brother. The loser brother, he basically for the first couple seasons was in prison.
Really?
Yeah, and so he finally got out of prison, and then everybody didn't trust him, and so then he was like, okay, I'm really doing legitimate work, and then he tried to date Isles, and Rizzoli was like, yes, you are not dating my brother. You know, so she put the shish kebab on that, but he's the loser. He's the loser of the family, and I don't particularly like him.
And now he's trying to be with the coroners and picking up dead bodies, which just isn't working either.
Well, that's because he throws up all over the bodies. That's like a problem.
A big problem, yes.
But I love the show, and this week's episode, like I said, they just got everybody back together. So we're back to... There's still going to be a little tension, I think, between them. Because, you know, Rizzoli shot her father. So that does create problems.
He was in the mob, though. You know, it wasn't just like, you know...
Yeah, I know her father's a criminal. I get that. But I don't know what she expected Rizzoli to do. Like, her father was pointing a gun at her. So I remember she said you should have shot him in the leg. I was like, they don't teach cops to shoot people in legs.
They don't do that.
Yeah, cops don't. If a cop is going to shoot you, they're trying to kill you. So right. Yeah, they're not trying to shoot people in their legs. And you're like, you're a good shot. I know you could have just shot him in the leg. She's like, all right. And then she asked the dad, she's like, would you have shot me? And the dad was like, yeah, I was about to shoot you. So, you know, that got clarified. Anyway, but yeah, I like that they're trying to put some of this behind them, but I do like a little of the tension. I think that's kind of interesting. And then the dad has a freaking nerve he wants to annul the wedding. He wants to annul his marriage to his wife. They've been married for what, like 30 years. He wants to annul the marriage so that he and his new girlfriend can get married in a Catholic church, because they don't allow divorce in a Catholic church, so you have to annul the marriage. And he's like, but they have three children.
Yeah.
So that would make all their children illegitimate.
Right.
And so the mom was like, I think not.
Does her parents show up in a lot of the episodes?
Her mom is in every episode, because her mom now lives... Her mom was living with Isles in her guest house, but then when they had the fight, then the mom moved in with Rizzoli. But the mom works at the police station. So mom is in every episode. And she basically is a mom to both of them, and she's pretty cool. The dad is not. So, but anyway, we've been on this for a while, so let's move on.
Okay.
So, thumbs up for Rizzoli and Isles.
Yes.
Are you gonna watch next week?
Dad, I don't think so.
Really? Wow, you enjoyed the episode. You don't want to watch it?
I enjoyed it, but it's not like, you know, sort of something I want to sort of keep up with. I'll keep up with Suits.
Ah, fine. All right, next up, Tom wants to discuss the first hour of the premiere of Dallas.
Yeah, I'll just be real quick. This is probably the best relaunch of an older show. It is not a rethink. It is Dallas, but instead of focusing on JR and Bobby, who are still on the show, And Sue Ellen's still on the show, too. Bobby has a new wife played by Brenda Strong, who is the dead Mary Alice on Desperate Housewives.
I will tell you right now, I've never seen Dallas, so don't try to explain
it. Well, in its heyday, Dallas was huge.
Oh, I mean, know it was huge. I just never watched it.
But basically, instead of focusing on the older...
I watched Dynasty.
Dynasty.
Oh, my gosh.
Instead of focusing on the geezers, they're focusing on the cousins. And, of course, they're not the same actors who played the cousins as children. So it's John Ross, JR's son, and Christopher, Bobby's and Pam's adopted son. Victoria Principal doesn't show up, but she's referred to. But it's just, it's Dallas. I mean, you know, it's well-written.
2012 Dallas, are there any people of color? Or
it's Dallas, what do you think? Actually, no. There is. She was a bad girl in an arc of Chuck. Basically, the housekeeper's daughter has had a fling with both cousins.
Well, she got to be the housekeeper, really?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it is Texas.
There are black people in Texas. Have you been to Houston?
I have been to Dallas and Houston.
There are black people there.
I know that, but not on the TV show, they're not.
Okay. Oh, we've seen Friday Night Lights. So,
it exists in the same alternate universe as Friends, where there were no black people in New York till season 8. But no, it's...
He's talking about Friends.
Friends.
Oh, they said Fringe.
No,
I was
Friends.
Like, what?
No.
Yeah.
No, but it's well done. I don't know if I'll keep up with it, but it's engaging. You know, the person who developed the show was smart to keep all the history intact, but to introduce this next generation. And of course, you know, because they're Ewings, you know, JR's son is just as rotten as his old man.
Wait, is the opening like the opening of Dallas?
It is the exact same opening theme music.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh wow,
that's
kind of
cool.
Right, well, all those feeling nostalgia, which
how's the
if
girl
they
really like a miniature Angie Harmon, Jordana Brewster.
That's the one who was on Chuck. No, she's playing the token ethnic in the main cast.
Oh, she's pretty white looking.
Well, she's not. They must send her to the tanning bed.
Like she looks like Angie Harmon. All
right. Anyway, so. Dallas, well done. All
right.
All right, so next up, we'll talk about the season premiere of Suits. And yay, that's all I have to say. I've been waiting.
Can I say Gina Torres puts the ASS in fantastic?
You're talking about that red dress she was wearing.
Oh my God.
I noticed the red dress she was wearing.
Wow.
I was like, holy crap.
Wow.
Yeah, she was working out that dress.
Yes, she really was.
She was really working it out.
Also, even her character, I mean, you know, both. I mean, she just, like, you know, everything about her was just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
This season, I like the fact that this season is very much, because last season was, she just didn't know what was going on. Because Mike's character was so below the radar for her, then there was no reason for her to know. And then they leave the cliffhanger with his idiot friend, you know, narking on him and going up to her, Jessica, and telling her, you know, Mike is not really a lawyer. And so what she does, what I thought was interesting, is she takes him out to dinner and talks to him, and she doesn't let him know what she's trying to find out.
Mm-hmm.
She just takes him to dinner. And this is the episode where you find out how smart she is. And I loved it. It was
so that's the finale.
No,
the premiere.
The premiere is her taking him out to dinner. The finale was, I have something to tell you. Cut. And then this is, she's already knows the information. And then she... The entire episode was about power plays. So it was Jessica wants Mike fired because he's not really a lawyer and it makes sense. But Harvey doesn't want to fire him. So Harvey starts doing these crazy power plays and it's like, well, what if I do this for you?
She wants to fire him?
Well, because he's not a lawyer.
He's not a lawyer.
And it would mess up her firm and it messes up their reputation and they could leave them open to all kinds of lawsuits. So it's smart to get rid of him. And she's looking at a perspective of, Mike just lied to all of them, so let's just fire him. She doesn't know that Harvey knew ahead of time.
Yep.
And so all
until the end.
And that's his trump card.
Yeah.
He says, if you fire him, you have to fire me, because I knew.
And then she was like, pack your bags.
Yep.
That was her first response, because she does not like people trying to...
Can't they just get him a quick... become a lawyer, just do the... He's really smart, just do the bar.
Yeah, but then...
He's passed the bar many times.
He's passed
but
the
problem?
The problem is he's already tried a bunch of cases. So if they go in to get him the bar now...
He hasn't tried, many cases.
Well, he's been the lawyer of note.
Yes.
On several cases. So if you go and get him the bar, pass the bar now, then they're like, well, what about all these other cases?
The thing is, they need to have that. They need to have easy fix. You get the hacker friend to go in.
And that's what they did.
Well, no, they didn't ask her to do that. She did it.
Yeah, so the hacker basically hacked into everything and made it look like he had a law degree.
Was a hacker on the show?
Well, it was for one episode.
It was a case of the week.
It was one episode. And so they made it look like he had his degree and everything. But what they forgot to do, which was how Jessica figured it out, is they forgot to have him go to undergrad. So it has him not listed in any school to have him going to undergrad school. So she's like, yes, your Harvard degree looks great and your bar exam looks great. But what undergrad did you go to? He's got nothing.
Well, that wasn't the...
He didn't have an answer?
Like, well, figured it out.
The way it happened is when she's talking to Harvey, oh, yeah, I have him checked out. He checked out great. Except for there's no record of him attending undergrad anywhere.
Right. And so busted. So Harvey's like, oh, crap. So now they should go fix that. But so it all came down to, because the name of the company is Pearson, Hardman, and something.
I think it's just the two names.
It's two names. Okay, so then the other partner has been gone because they had been blackmailing him, so for him to stay away from the company. And what they were using as blackmail material was like, if you don't do this, we're going to tell your wife. And then his wife dies. So now they're like, holy crap, what are we going to do?
Did we know that from last year?
No, it was all new.
This is my big flaw with this episode. We should have had a hint about some of this stuff in season one.
About the partner.
Because it just felt like, hey, we're...
Name of the company was always that.
Well, you're implied that there was a partner, but they never...
Showed the partner, but now they explain why we've never seen the partner.
Oh, wow, you're kidding, because this is my first episode, so I thought all of this was set up in the first season.
No.
Really? So this is the first time the partner's been there?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, I thought they did a really good job of setting it up this season, because now this season is all about a war. It's a war between Jessica and her group of lawyers fighting the old partner who has now come back and his group of lawyers and who has control of the company. And so they've set the battle lines, and Harvey was like, if you're going to go to war with him, you need me. And you know that I'm loyal, and you know that I have your back. Do you really want to fire me? And he's like, and Mike is smarter than you know, and you want Mike. And so what's great is I love how the episode ends.
Which calls back the pilot where Mike and Harvey go at it. Harvey's got the computer in front of him, and Mike dares him, look up anything and I can tell you what it is.
Right.
And so they basically reprise that with Jessica. He says, go ahead, look up anything. And then she closes the computer lid and says, I'm not Harvey.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need it. That is awesome. That really shows you how smart she is. And I really am excited about it, because I feel like this season... they're really going to incorporate her more.
I think that is going to be a great thing.
Yeah. All right, so...
Especially if she keeps looking fantastic.
You wanted to talk about the secretary.
Oh, yeah, the scene with Donna and Harvey, when Harvey is going to fire Mike, and Donna doesn't eavesdrop for a change, and then Donna basically breaks down Harvey and says, you like him. You've got, you know, he's gotten under your skin. You know, I've never seen you affected like this before. You know, can I get you anything? Kleenex, tampon, perhaps?
Well, what was the trip is the scene where Harvey basically puts it down for Jessica and's like, if you get rid of Mike, you have to get rid of me. And I was like, are they sleeping together? Like, who says that? Like,
Harvey's intensely loyal.
I know, but it felt a little more loyal than loyalty. Just that's all.
It's a mentor protege and also like this surrogate father surrogate son relationship. I mean,
More of a big. They're not that far. Big brother,
big brother, little brother.
Yeah,
but it's stronger. It's a really strong bond. I mean, right, it's not the Kirk Spock where there's homoerotic stuff going on. But
I don't know, man. It felt a little to me just at the end. I was like, whoa. But anyway, I see that. Sometimes I see that when there's not there.
So and I love like that out of the six principals, half of them are women, and even the women in support roles
are
so well defined and smart and capable and call them in on their BS.
Yeah, and what's the dweeb?
Lewis.
The weasel guy? Lewis. Oh, man. Lewis cracks me up. He is the comedy relief. Ronnie, you haven't said anything about it. You were excited about Suits.
Actually, I was. I did say, you know, a little bit about it, but because I really enjoyed it. And again, it's neat to see, especially with Harvey, the way that he, you know, sort of like it's like a chess game with him. Okay, if this doesn't work, then I'm going to have to change this to keep, you know, to keep Mike on board. And I like the way he plays it out throughout the episode. It was really nice.
Yeah, he was on it. And he basically told Mike, he's like, trust me, you're not losing your job. You know, like, he knew.
It's like, whatever it takes.
Yeah. And he said, remember I told you, just because, you know, if they have a gun pointed at your head doesn't mean you have to do what they tell you. And he's like, there's not even a gun pointed at our head. That was good. That was a good callback to
us. Question, though, with Mike and then his girlfriend, or, like, I guess the triangle, because I didn't get, like, him not hearing the message that about the kiss.
Oh, you know what? It wasn't deleted. He played it, so it didn't show up as new.
New, right.
So he didn't know about it. So then he went back and played. You're right. It wasn't deleted. He just played it, so it didn't show as new. He didn't know he had a new message, so he didn't listen to it.
Oh, okay. I didn't get. Okay.
Yeah, and so now he listened to it at the end, and so now he's like, oh, that's why she's mad at me. So I thought it was a good episode. I think you should go back and see season one if you like the premiere.
Yeah, it's worth it, Ronnie. I actually bought it on iTunes.
Yeah, I think so.
In HD.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I really like it.
Wow. Well, I'm going to keep watching it. Maybe I will go back. I still have to catch up on Friends over the summer. I don't want to put too much.
Yeah. All right. Next up, let's talk about Burn Notice. And Ronnie was the one that was super excited about it, so go for it.
Yeah, I was really excited about this one because, again, you see Michael sort of off the chain because he's so desperate about Fiona. And what I really liked about this episode is that you just see him reacting instead of thinking, because typically Michael is, you know, sort of emotionally detached and removed from it. But this is like he's right in the middle of it and figuring out how can he get – I can't think of the Anson?
Anson's the bad guy.
Right. I hate him as a bad guy.
I hate him as a bad guy, and I'm mad they didn't actually catch him. Like, I was like, really? Oh, we don't need him.
I wanted to throw something at my TV.
Like, they didn't need him to get away.
Ugh.
Not especially because he doesn't control Mike anymore. He's lost his control over Mike. We don't need him anymore. They really should have just killed him.
And he's a boring character.
That too.
See, but I think what I really enjoyed about the episode is, again, you get a chance to see Mike not thinking and just reacting.
Yeah, he was on a whole different emotional level, and that was new. I agree with you there.
Yes.
And I like the fact that the mom took out the bad guy with a shotgun. That was pretty good. And
yes, you know, and even having, like, I like the way that in this one we're trying to, you know, here you are in this big plant. How do you get to the, you know, how do you figure out where this guy is? You know what I mean? Like you said, so I'm not so concerned about, like you said, him as, like, the villain. I feel like you're right. You know, we don't need to go on and on with him. But at the same time, I just enjoyed, like, the way that they're trying to figure out how to get him, flesh him out, how to figure out where he is sort of in this whole thing. And so, and I like just the buildup, you know, in this episode. Also, cool. I thought what was cool is that, you know, that with Fiona and, gosh, I'm forgetting everybody's name. Michael's best friend, Sam, yes. How Sam had to confess that, you know, that it wasn't Fiona knocking him out, that he was actually part of, you know, letting her go.
Right. But I also, what about the whole, all the scenes with Fiona in jail and the guy trying to break her?
Oh, I hate,
I like that he tried to manipulate the situation. He did it a little,
It was so sloppy. It was sloppy. Second rate, because she saw right through it. It's like,
right,
come
on.
Yeah,
but
and
story,
also
that's exactly what you wanted though, because Fiona's not gonna, you know, sort of, you know, get caught up in it. You know what I mean? So here he is, you know, they already defeated him before, yeah. You know, sort of another case.
Well, obviously,
and here he is trying his best, and he can't. I mean, but he's sloppy.
Well, the thing is, she's shown that she's smarter than him before, and
right. He's
taking her to be just like some lovelorn girlfriend and trying to manipulate her that way, and not really,
which makes no sense when they're accusing her of being this evil, dastardly international terrorist.
You don't have to be super bright to do that. You have to be, you know, somewhat bright. But yeah, it's, yeah, he's not. I don't understand how he managed to get interviewing rights if he's striking out. He's obvious. He shouldn't be the next person to interrogate her. Should not be him, because he struck out twice with her.
With Michael's handler, like, she's, you know, at first even getting her to bring other men in, because, you know, they don't see sort of like the how critical and what's really going on, and so that, you know, it's like all the feds and everything need to come up to speed about how important what's going on is. They're taking it all for granted.
Well, that's because Michael's been lying to them
right
up until this point, so now he's finally telling them some of the truth, and they're finally like, oh, okay. But the other scene is, did you guys think that Sam was dead when that explosion went off?
No.
I know he couldn't be.
I had a moment where I was hoping that they had the balls to do it and scared that they actually did it. So I wasn't sure, but then they kept showing, like, the longer they spent showing, going back to showing the warehouse, I was like, well, okay, maybe not. And I like Sam, so I'm glad Sam's not dead, but
It would have been interesting for the show, though, for the story.
Right, if they had actually done it, but I kind of didn't want them to do it. So anyway, I don't know if I want to keep watching. Like, right now, I'll tell you this, I'm not going to record it, but it is on Hulu. So if I have extra time, then maybe I'll watch it. I mean, the only thing that impressed me is they didn't break her out. Like, the moment they break Fiona out, I'm probably done.
I don't want them to string it out, like, till the mid-season finale.
I think that adds a different dynamic. I'm fine with that. Yeah. That actually makes it new and different. As soon as Fiona's out, then it's back to the same show.
Well, if Fiona's out, then there's nothing else left to explore. And I think sort of like having Fiona in, it raises the emotional stakes for Michael. And that's what, to me, would be interesting. Because I'll give it a couple more episodes to see where they go with it. But again, I think Fiona, sort of being locked up and him having to, be emotionally tied to her takes it to a different place.
I agree. All right, let's wrap that one. Wrapping that up.
I think they need to seriously be thinking about an end game for the show because it's just so much time on a stationary bicycle or a treadmill.
I agree with you. That's why I was ready to leave the show. I'm totally on your side on that one. But anyway, let's wrap it up. Next up, let's talk about Tron. And this was part two of the two-parter. What'd you guys think?
I thought it was a good wrap-up of where they ended the last time. It's still, I think its strongest thing is that it's fantastic to look at. It's gorgeously animated, but I think the story is really starting to suck me in at this point. The thing that I found annoying is they kept going back to a B story, which I absolutely was not interested in.
I kept wondering, is that going to somehow reflect the A story? And of course, they literally run into each other.
they do cross paths, but I think, it could have done something better to go in that direction.
I don't like the characters in that story.
I don't either. I don't like the B-story characters at all. But I like the main storyline and actually starting the resistance and getting the guy out and it's like, spread the word, we're gonna do this thing. Like, that was important.
And that was all good. I loved watching that part. It's just, I think that structurally, too many writers think, oh, we have to have an A story and we have to have a B story. And no, you don't. Especially with something that's as brief as a half-hour animated show.
Right.
I think you can stick with your A story, make it as strong as possible, and have something that's worth watching instead of having to go back to characters doing things that we really don't care about.
Well, they're really approaching this as a mini-series. I'm wondering, are they prepared to do a second miniseries or follow-up?
Yeah, season 2's been approved already.
Oh, it has. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
So, man,
does it look cool.
It looks really great. I like the story. I agree with you. The B story was snooze-worthy. But I am excited to see where it's going. And I like Lance Reddick playing the military guy. And he's going to go find his other, compatriots and... They're going to start this. Let's get this rebellion
started. Get
themselves
a little army going, yeah.
Yeah, let's get this rebellion started. I'm ready.
So that part was good, yeah, absolutely. It's like I said, great to look at. I think the actors who they've chosen for the various roles are perfect for the various parts they're playing. And doing a great job. And I'm starting to get sucked into the story. I just want them to pay more attention to that story.
Oh, and Bruce Boxleitner, the thing that's weird about the animation for his character is it looks nothing like him, which is so weird.
I was going to say, Beck looks more like young Bruce Boxleitner than Tron does.
I know, it's so weird. I'm like, why did you make his face so long? Like, what is that about? But
he's got sort of a little pencil head, actually.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It almost comes to a point.
I don't understand why they make him look like that, but I did like him coming in and rescuing them at the end. And I think they show the preview for next week. We're going to find out more about his health issues, like why he can't be Tron. Because there has to be an explanation for me, because he's a better fighter than the new guy, than Beck, and he's a better pilot. And he's like, why is he not out there helping more? But I think they're going
to
do it.
Well, I think they made clear, that their attempt to kill him and he's sustained injuries that he's only just staying alive for. But I'd like them to explore that more, too. Yeah.
I think in the preview they said that's what they're doing next week. So I can't wait. All right.
Oh, good.
wrapping up. If you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You can listen to us on getthepointradio.com, Krypton Radio, and Weedonopolis.com, and iTunes. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Goodbye.
Bye.